This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Barry, I'm heading up to play Swiss Pairs in Auckland this weekend. Why aren't you playing?
It's a huge event, the Swiss Pairs. At least a 15-8. Lots of A points to be won. Why wouldn't you go?
Well, why wouldn't you go? Why aren't you going?
I don't think the listeners really want to hear that reason.
Okay. All right.
It's to do with cows and bulls and calves and things like that.
Yep, it's a big tournament. It's got a big field, $125 entry fee. How many boards am I going to get to play for that amount of money, Barry?
Lots, I imagine. It's been played for 2 days. I'm guessing about it, probably at least 80 boards, Mariana, probably more. So you'll get your money's worth.
And what about A points? How many?
Yeah, that's my next subject. All you've got to do is win a few matches, Mariana. One of the beauties of Swiss Pairs and why it's such a popular event is every match is a new match and you're playing for part of an A point each time. If you're playing a 10-board match and it's a 15A, you're playing for 0.6 of an A point every time you step up to the plate, Mariana.
That's all right, isn't it?
So you can chalk them up. You'll be on your way to Life Master before you know it.
Talking about Life Master, when we were talking about Restricted Open, can you recall what the criteria is to play in Restricted Open again?
I thought it was National Master or below. National Master, 175 A points.
If you're still a National Master and got more than 175, you don't qualify. Is that right?
I'm unsure about that, Mariana. Maybe it's National Master or below, or maybe it's below National Master.
And where would we find that criteria?
That's a very good question. I think it's probably mentioned on the NZ Bridge site. If you look at Congress...
Here we go, Barry. Obviously. National Master is an aggregate of A and B points of 350,
yeah,
including at least 175 A points. It's saying at least.
Yeah, yeah, I've got that, but I'm just wondering whether Restricted Open is National Master and below or below National Master. National Masters or lower. So anybody that's a National Master can play in the Restricted Open Pairs. So if you've got 175 A's, as long as you don't get to Life Master, which is 250 A's. Once you get to Life Master, Mariana, it's all over for you.
I see. Well, that sorts that out.
So it does. Yep. So that's what it is in the New Zealand Restricted Open Pairs anyway. And I guess that's as good a place as you need to look. How many A's have you got, Mariana? Oh, we haven't looked it up for a while. This discussion hasn't come up. How many have you got?
No. I don't know. No, I don't look up things like that. Why would I want to do that? I keep forgetting, Barry. Okay, so I have 134.68 A points.
You need another 40 and a bit to get to National Master.
God.
Even then, you'll still qualify for the restricted events.
Gone are the days when open is open.
Yeah, I guess they have. So it's a 15A event, Mariana, and you'll be in exalted company with all of those peers.
Well, you've got to be in to win, don't you?
The director's going to be Sikorski. Doesn't actually tell you how many boards you're going to play, but I'm picking it'll be locked.
Your eyes will get a bit googly, I guess.
There you go. Well, I'm sure our listeners will watch with interest to see how you fare, Mariana.
Okay. I've been reading some tips about things. I just want to get your opinion on this one here. It says, do an inventory of all the information you have on the hand before deciding on needs, defence and declare a play. Often the most important clues are the negative inferences, such as didn't open or overcall, can't have a full card, major, etc. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's like the dog that didn't bark in the night, Mariana.
If a dog didn't bark in the night, I wonder if people actually do that.
Absolutely they do, but okay. Not enough of them. A lot of people have forgotten what the auction is by the time they get halfway through the hand, I can tell you now.
How many times are you allowed to look at the bidding pad?
Good question. You're allowed to look at it as many times as you like, but after the first round has been played, it's meant to be turned over. But I'll tell you something for nothing. If you walked around the room on Saturday and you looked at all of those, how many tables are there? 28 or something, is there?
I think Judgey said 28.
You walked all around those 28 or 29 tables, I reckon half of them wouldn't have turned the bidding pad over. I hope Judge Julie's not listening to this. What do you think? Am I right or am I right?
I believe so. I know people that just don't. They just can't be bothered. It doesn't bother them. But it should, shouldn't it?
I don't know whether it's that. I think people just forget about it. They've got other things to think about. They're looking at their hand. They're counting the points in dummy. They're trying to figure out what their partner's got. They've got to decide what to lead. They've got to think, well, how are we going to beat this thing? How many points has Dictator got? And in the middle of all that, Mariana, they're supposed to be thinking, oh, my God, I have to turn the bidding pad over.
Isn't it North-South's job to look after the table and all that? Shouldn't they be turning it over?
I don't think so. I think all players are responsible. Like, all players are responsible for dummy. And all players are responsible for making sure the bidding pad's turned over. Anybody can turn it over, but somebody's meant to.
I was playing on Friday at the club, had to fill in for someone that couldn't make it, and somebody turned the whole thing over, and on the back of it was a lovely picture of a goat. Someone had gotten, I guess, bored and drawn a picture of a goat. And I thought, oh, I wonder if that was a pictionary thing, like greatest of all time player. But no.
I was going to say, maybe they thought they were playing with somebody really good.
Could have been.
And they thought, greatest of all time.
Mm. Now, one thing I haven't seen is we haven't had that many answers about a horse name for you. Have you had any?
I haven't had a single one. Maybe the creative juices of our listeners is, you know, are not very strong.
Well, some people might disagree with you there, but if you do, send it in. I don't know. Is it a little horse or a little big horse?
It's a big horse. Quite a big horse.
He's trying to decide of a name and bridge related. Definitely going to be bridge related.
We'd like it to be bridge related, yeah. His mother's name is Tartan too. That's a bridge related name. Her dad's called Thunder Down Under. I don't know whether that's bridge related, but if you can think of something along those lines, send it in.
Bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
If I hear, Mariana, that somebody came along to your table and noticed that the bidding pad wasn't turned over, I'm going to bring it up next week with Judge Julie. I'm going to tell tales on you.
I always rip it off, put it down, and then when it's finished, chuck it away. I'd just put it in the rubbish bin if they want it later. Hey, look, talking about bidding slits, I guess a lot of people that are learning or wanting to learn keep the bidding slips and they fold them up, put them in their pocket, or some quickly take it and write down the board number on it and away they go. Why would you do that when you could, you know, get a personal score sheet and write little questions on it? Because you've got a whole pocket full of bidding slips. Surely you can't remember why you actually put that one in your pocket. What do you reckon?
I mean, all you see on the personal score sheet is what the final contract is. You don't know what the option was to get there.
You can write it down, couldn't you?
I guess, well, it's already written down. It's on the bidding slip.
What about what you want to keep it? What happened if your question wasn't about the actual bidding? Maybe you thought that you should have made a bid when you didn't. Or you think, oh, I'll keep that and we'll talk about it later. Just saying, when you talk about it later, can you remember what you did with it if you didn't write down on the piece of paper what your actual query is on it? Do you see a lot of people doing that? No.
I wouldn't say there's a lot of people. I mean, it does happen. A few people do it. It's not a common thing, but I can understand why they want to do it. I had the problem on this end. I say, how did your auction go? And 9 times out of 10, they can't remember it.
Well, how do you get that memory? Because you can remember how the bidding went 2 weeks ago. I can't. How do you get that memory?
Sometimes I think there's maybe something wrong with me, Mariana.
Uh-oh. We'll probably get comments about that. Do you want to retract that?
No. I mean, I think sometimes you've just got a mind. I mean, there are people with photographic memories. They probably don't need to get the bidding slips, I guess. Remembering the auction is a good thing, right? If you can remember the auction when you're defending or even when you're declaring, and you can think back and think, how did the auction go? Oh, that's right. They bid diamonds or whatever. It's very helpful. If you can't remember how the auction went, you're behind the eight ball.
Right.
Practice, and it's actually quite hard work in a way, but it's well worth doing.
Right.
If you can manage it.
Now, Hamilton's got the Melbourne Cup afternoon going. I'm not talking about bridge here, but have you got any tips for the Melbourne Cup race next Tuesday?
Oh, gosh. No, it's a bit hard with all these overseas horses these days. There's not many Kiwi horses in there anymore. The Melbourne Cup has lost a bit of its interest for a lot of Kiwis, I guess, and maybe a lot of Aussies too. There's a whole lot of overseas horses in there, and we don't know much about them. So, no, I haven't got a tip. Not much use to be coming up with one next week, is there?
No.
There's a horse in there called Gold Trip, supposed to be one of the favourites, isn't it?
I don't know. I do my normal just back jockey that wears purple That's how I pick my horses.
Sounds like a very good system, Mariana. I'd stick with that. What do you do if there's six horses wearing purple, though?
What can you do? You can box them, can't you?
Or you pick the one that's wearing the most purple, or maybe the least purple.
No, the most purple.
So just this week, you're playing any bridge during the week so that you'll be in top form for Saturday and Sunday. Bit of online bridge, maybe? A bit of BDO, yeah, or...
We got two sessions of online bridge to have a play because I haven't played very much. I only been playing because I've been filling in for people that haven't been able to. So I played the last two Fridays. I do have a game tomorrow though, because someone's after a game. So I thought, okay, I'll try and get down there and have a game.
They usually have quite a good turnout on a Tuesday afternoon in Hamilton. There's usually, you know, 9 or 10 tables. Not too shabby.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
And it's another week. We're at the courthouse with Judge Julie. Bit blowy up your way today?
Yeah, not too bad where we are. Played Arewa yesterday and the power went out about lunchtime or just before it. Came back on, fortunately. And it was really blustery out there. But it has been mainly north and then across. We haven't been too bad this part of town.
A bit blowy. You're talking to Judge Julie and you're saying it's a bit blowy. I think you've got the wrong person.
Why? I went to school in Wellington. Auckland doesn't get blowy. Well, it does occasionally, but not often.
I wasn't talking about the weather. But anyway, that's all good. Anyway, I've got a question for you. If you're playing in a new partnership, Julie, and you defend the first hand and you think, and how often you do this, you think, oh my God, what are I just, whatever, and then blow me down, you're on lead to the second hand. Can you ask partner what leads and discards you're playing?
So before we take any cards out of the board, we should know what we're playing. And after it's happened once, before we take cards out of the next board, we want to know what we're playing. Now, it's fine. I mean, if you haven't got the cards out of the board and you finish the previous hand, you say, what are our leads, partner, really quickly, so you can talk about it. The only time where you might be able to talk about it subsequent to taking the cards out of the board are when your opponent suddenly surprised you by telling you something really unusual that they're playing that you might like a defence to. And even then, you'd need to call the director.
If there's no secrets, what does it matter?
Because you're not allowed anything at the table for memory aids.
Right.
And if you pick up your hand and say, are we playing top of honours or are we playing fourth highest? And then you make a lead. It's not a case of your partner remembering. And you may also give information that is unauthorised to your partner because of the questions. And it's a horrible, horrible feeling. My most common one that I don't do is ask, what do we do when they open one no trump? And I sit there nearly every time I play with somebody that I haven't played with before, and I think, I'm going to ask them this. I pick up the cards, and I think, oh, please don't get the opponents open my no trump. I have no idea what I am doing. There are just so many different things that are around, all right? Most of the time, if you really start, think about who they play with and what they do then.
Yeah, there's something Mariana read. The opponents are unsure of what their partner's bid means. Assume it's the same as what you play, which is nothing to do with what we were just talking about.
No, you get things like, if in doubt, take it out. There's all sorts of things. And I mean, one of them is to, you sort of think, I've seen so-and-so playing with this person that I play with. So, okay, so they open two hearts. Is it a weak two or is it hearts and another? Or hearts and whatever it might be, right? And you're sitting there and you're thinking, what on earth do I do? But you've got no agreement. Really, really importantly, in this situation, leads or bidding, if someone says, what do you understand by your partner's bid, it does not start off with, I am taking it as, or I think it is, or maybe it's going to be this. It is, we have no agreement. If you haven't talked about it, you're not allowed to make it up, because you're actually giving your partner information that they're not allowed, and you are not helping your opponents at all. I had one once, and I said to whoever it was that asked me, I said, you probably know better than I, because you've played against them more often than I have, right? I have no idea.
Actually, the one no trump thing is such a common thing. I've done it myself, and you play the first hand, you think, I wonder what we're playing over one no trump. I must ask.
You forget, you play the second act. God, I must remember to ask them after the next hand. And then eventually they bloody well open one no trump and you still haven't asked. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. It's sort of like leads, like transfers. What are we playing? Range finder, is it two spades or two no trumps when partner opens one no trump? I mean, there are so many different things that people play. And it depends where you are in the country, what's common as well. So if you're visiting somewhere, good luck to you.
And if you're like Mariana, you've had a 30-second discussion at the bar before you started, got on to defence to one no trump.
Yeah, well, it also depends whether I was having a drink in that 30-second discussion.
Oh, I probably wouldn't be listening. I'd be still drinking and munching on chips at that stage.
It was like the days of playing individuals. And you'd sit down and they'd say, I'll play your stuff. And I said, no, I'll play yours, da-da-da-da. And someone said, I play something, two club opener, strong hand. I play, I don't know, control answers or asking the something that I'd never ever heard of. And I said, yep, fine. You're playing two boards. What are the odds? And I was praying it didn't come up. Seriously praying that two clubs did not come up as an opener, because what are the odds that you're going to have this really strong hand come along? So there are simple things you want to talk about when you play with someone. And system cards are really, really useful. The front page of a system card for actually making sure you ask those questions. So if you have a look at the system card, that first page says how strong is the no trump, what are the transfers, what are the two-level openers, the jump over, all of those things. Really, really useful just to go through that and tick it.
I had a friend of mine who played in that individual you were talking about, and I well remember him telling me this story. He met this lady and he said, what are you playing? She said, Benjamin Eyes Dacol with rangefinders. Yes. And he said, yep, that'll be great. He had no idea what that was. But anyway, he agreed to it and he thought, we're only playing a few boards. What's the chance of They managed to get through the boards and nothing happened. And he thought, thank God for that. But it wasn't the end. He made the final and so did she. And when they got there, she said, oh, Benjamin was with rangefinders. And I don't know whether it ended happily this time. You can agree to anything if it's only three boards, can't you?
Yeah, there's just too much and too little time.
Defending is probably the last thing people talk about, and it shouldn't be.
No, that's actually something you do want to know.
Well, you know, you're 50-50 chance you'll be defending. Well, maybe in Julie's case, only 25% chance, but still.
I just want to talk about the National Swiss Pairs this weekend happening up your way.
Yep.
You've got good numbers, I hear.
Yeah, 28 tables at the moment, so really good. Because all of the face-to-face, the 20As, 15-20As, seem to have been around the 14 table mark. So I don't know why, but that is really, really good. So I'm really happy.
That is amazing for face-to-face. None of them have got to 20. 28 tables is phenomenal.
I'm really, really happy. I'm not too sure when play starts. They've organised a Thai restaurant in Rimuera to go to for dinner if people are going, and it's really nice. That's a really good restaurant. Thai is always good value. That's really good. And Sunday should be a good day, and Patrick's dealing the cards. If there are any errors with that, we all know who to blame now. Lorraine is directing and Kevin Walker's scoring.
On Saturday, it starts at 10 o'clock with approximately 6 p.m. finish. And on Sunday, it's 10 o'clock start, approximately 4 p.m. finish.
Yeah, so hopefully it should be a very good weekend. And as I said, excellent turnout. Just really good. 28 tables is just so much better than it has been for quite a long time for a big tournament.
I'm really wondering what the attraction is. Are you cooking supper or something, Julie? Why would they all turn up all of a sudden? We haven't seen that for forever.
Maybe it's because it's in a main city centre and everyone can get in really quickly.
Possibly that is one of the advantages that Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch have. The Dunedin, Queenstown as well to some degree, that they have those direct flights from various parts of the country, whereas the more regional centres have more issues with being able to actually get there quickly and easily, and you know the expense of it all. But whatever it is, it's great.
So I know that Wellington had a reasonably major Teams event not very long ago, and they had something like 14 tables for it. Wellington's sort of easy to get in and out of.
Yeah, well, when we played the North Island Pairs at the beginning of the year, there were 14 tables.
Okay.
Maybe people are, at the moment, with the spring weather being what it is, people might not be quite so happy about Wellington. I think you get your money's worth with this sort of weather, but, you know, there are other people that have different ideas.
Where was the North Island Pairs held, Julie? I can't recall.
It was Wellington Bridge Club.
What's Wellington? Okay.
In Tinakori Road.
Not everybody likes flying into Wellington Airport.
Have you got to pay for flying? At least get your money's worth, eh? Actually, in all fairness, the last few times I've flown in there, it has been so boring. It has been not a bump.
You like the wild landings, do you?
It can have its moments, but that is actually quite fun.
Okay, thank you, Julie. And good luck on the weekend. I'll be watching your results, of course. You know, I've got an interest in that partnership.
You can do that.
All right. We'll catch you next week.
Okay.
I've got down on my Spotify to listen to Peter Hollins. He's being interviewed on the Sorry Partner podcast. That'll be interesting to listen to.
I hope so.
He's made quite a name for himself, Peter Hollins, on YouTube, and I enjoyed his coverage of the World Champ. You guys were over in Morocco. He was on the front page of that.
He puts a lot of work in. I mean, he produces so many podcasts, videos and whatever. I mean, I don't know how many hours he puts into it in a week, but it must be heaps, and he's been doing it for ages. So
really,
good luck to him.
Yeah, we should give him a call. I'll put him on our list of contacts. I use a lot of his material, you know, when we might be a couple of minutes short or something like that. He's a good gap filler for us.
I would suggest that if we interview Peter Hollins, that you don't say to him that you think he's a good gap filler. Behave yourself.
Yeah. And just because we can, here's half a segment from Peter Hollins on his explanation on using the convention of Jacobi or Jacobi.
G'day, it's Pete here, and today I wanted to do an introduction to Jacobi Tuno Trumps. I wanted to look at how it works, what problems it solves, what you actually give up by playing it, what the traditional responses are, and what you can do in competition with it as well. But first, what is Jacobi Tuno Trumps? One of the most important things that you can do as a partnership is discuss how do you actually support your partner and how can you actually use it for strong hands. So when you've got a good hand in support of a partner, what do you actually do? Now, Jacobi Tuno Trumps actually solves this for when you've got big fits. So if partner opens a heart or a spade, you can use a Tuno Trump response to say that you have a game-forcing strength hand with at least four cards or more support. And what this actually solves is when you're trying to support your partner, if you don't use something like Jacobi Tuno Trumps, but just have to start bidding new suits, it's hard to either convey that you've got support or that you've actually got strength. For instance, if you just jump to four spades, often this would just be a weak hand, and it's also hard for a partner to explore more because this would typically be five card support and a weak hand. But if you used it for strong hands as well, it would be hard for partner to gauge. So you really want a way to show that you've got game forcing strength hand and support. If you went via bidding a new suit and then supporting their suit on the second time, it's hard to show how good your support is. So Jacobi Tuno Trump does this in one bid and it does it straight away and it conveys that we've got a great hand and it's really powerful for exploring slams, but also setting the tone of the auction. Now, whenever you're thinking about doing a convention, you want to look at, well, how frequently does it come up? And also, what do you give up by playing it? Well, how frequently it comes up, you support your partner a decent amount of time, so it happens a fair bit. But what are we actually giving up by playing this? Well, we're giving up a natural Tuno Trump bid. Now, a natural Tuno Trump bid would typically be 10 to 12 without a fit. Now, how would we bid this if we weren't doing that? If you're playing 2 over 1, then you would typically just bid a 1 no trump and then bid 2 no trumps on your second bid. If you're playing standard, then you'd probably bid a new suit at the 2 level and then bid 2 no trumps on your second opportunity. So we're not really giving up too much by bidding this 2 no trumps. So here, it's great for setting the tone of the auction. It says we've got four card support. It says we've got a game forcing strength hand. And it's really good for trying to identify slams because we've set this forcing auction at a low level. We've said what trumps is, and we know that we're at least going to game. We've got lots of room to explore. How do we actually use that? The traditional responses to Jacoby 2-0 trumps is, if you have just a minimum balanced hand, you just go to four of your major. Bid hearts, you go to four hearts. If you go to spades, you go to four spades. So this would just be sort of 12 to 14 with no shortage. If you have a shortage, what you typically do is just bid where you've got a singleton. So three clubs here would say I have a singleton club. If you've got a singleton diamond, you'd bid three diamonds. And if you've got a singleton heart, you'd bid three hearts. This doesn't show any extra points. This just sort of shows where your shortages actually are. Now, if you don't have a shortage, but you've got some extra points, you've got two bids available for you. You've got three no trumps, and you've also got three spades. Three no trumps is typically in like 15, 17 sort of range, and three spades is sort of like 18, 19. The way I try and remember this is, the more space you take up, the weaker you are. If you're minimum with no shortage, you go to four spades. If you're a bit stronger, you go to three no trumps. And if you're even stronger than that, you go to three of a major, because that's going to conserve the most space. This is all about, we're in a forcing auction. We're going to get to at least game. Let's at least conserve some space. So these are the traditional responses to Jacoby 2-0 trumps.
We'll have the last 4 minutes of this segment next week.
They had the Zelda Morris Pierce in Havelock North.
Oh, yeah. How did that get on?
So that was won by the old firm of Scott Smith and Michael Weir. Used to play a lot of the day, not so much anymore, now that Scott's leading a life of luxury and ease over in the Bay.
It's been going for some time now, hasn't it?
It certainly has. So Zelda Morris, of course, is the mother of Alan Morris, current champion of Alan Bridge.
So 11 tables.
She's been running for a very long time. Don't know when it first started, but it wasn't last year, I can tell you that. Zelda Morris Pairs, it's like it's been running for certainly over 50 years, probably more like 55.
That's good.
Mrs. S. Grayling and G.L. Ewitt from New Plymouth won it in 1968.
Amazing.
Interestingly enough, I noticed that Michael Weir and Scott Smith won the Zelda Morris Pairs back in 2013, 10 years ago.
How cool is that?
And if you really want to go back in the day, Michael Weir won it playing with Ashley Bark back in 1995, last century.
Wow. He absolutely loves playing it by the sounds of it.
Good luck to everybody that's going to play in the Swiss Pairs in Auckland. There are lots of you.
Catch you next week and see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.